Summoning by Nobilis. I poked my head into the hallway outside my dorm room and scanned up and down. The pale blue flames flickering along the walls were at their low nighttime level, but they shed enough light to see that the corridor was empty. Heart thudding in my chest, I slipped out and let the door slide silently shut. I had an excuse prepared if any of the people and things that patrolled the halls were to catch me, but it wouldn't bear much scrutiny if the bag slung under my shoulder were searched. Rationally speaking, I knew that I probably wouldn't get in that much trouble, even if I were caught. My record was spotless, and my grades were near the top of my class. The only teacher who gave me a hard time was that slimy one who taught potion brewing. And that was only because our families had been feuding since before the school was founded. Logic didn't help my anxieties any. I wasn't afraid of disciplinary action from the teachers as much as ridicule from my classmates. Social graces had never come easily to me, and I didn't have a close circle of friends to protect me if I screwed up. Getting caught would be a devastating blow to what little reputation I had. I breathed a sigh of relief as I tiptoed out of the residence hall into the cool darkness of the quad. I chanced a run between sculptures of famous alumni out across the deserted street to a heavy wooden door bound with gleaming silver. The sign over the door read, "Advanced Studies Classroom Building," but even the teachers called it the Tower. Its heavy circular walls and narrow windows had served to contain many experiments gone awry over the years. I dug a key out of my pocket and touched it to the brass lockplate in the center of the door. I grated my teeth at the piercing sound of the door's hinges, but it couldn't be helped. I lunged inside as soon as the gap was wide enough and shoved the door back against its latches. Only after their metallic clanks finished echoing through the empty hallway did I breathe easily. The wall sconces, normally dancing with magical flames, were dark. I spoke a quick incantation and a glowing sphere appeared in my hand. I climbed 3 flights of stairs with a light tread, stopping finally at a heavy wooden door set in an elaborately sculpted arch. Again, the door opened at the touch of my key, and I stepped through the door into darkness. The sign over the door read, "Summoning Room." The circular room beyond the door was featureless, except for a silver circle set into the stones of the floor. I wasted no time in making preparations. I set 4 pink candles at the cardinal points of the circle. Lit, they multiplied the heavy shadows climbing the walls, jumping like capering demons. I filled a small ceramic bowl with bits of charcoal and a brown powder, lit it with a word and a pass of my hands, and let the sweet aromas of cinnamon, cloves, and ginger fill the room. I set the brazier next to a bowl of white cubes that glittered in the flickering light. The last item in my pack was a pink, fuzzy sweater. It had not been easy to obtain, but the formula for the summoning was clear. No substitutions. I spread it out in the center of the circle, aligned perfectly with the candles, the incense, and the sugar. I stood, stepped back to the edge of the circle, and opened my mouth to speak the incantation. The words flowed, swirling and echoing in the confined space. I watched, concentrating, as the sweater twitched, bunched, and finally rose into the air. Smoky tendrils rising from the brazier twisted and bent, flowing at an angle to fill the soft woolen garment. One by one, the sugar cubes rose from their bowl and danced, spinning in and out of the sweater. The cloud of smoke grew thicker, taking on shape and opacity. A bulb of smoke grew from the neck, and 2 more from the sleeves. As the last of the smoke puffed from the dying embers, a pair of shapely legs formed, disappearing up under the wool. Smooth, pale blue skin covered the creature, called into being in the center of the room. It filled out the sweater in a way that left no doubt it was female. "Who calls me from beyond the veil?" Her full lips pronounced the words with a soft, breathy voice. Large, cerulean eyes looked out from under a flowing crown of midnight blue hair. I took a deep breath and drew myself to my full height. "I am Eric Florian."
"What? No titles of merit? No certifications of power to convince me that you deserve to command my service?"
No tests, to be sure, that you haven't accidentally summoned an imp, or worse, a succubus? There's no point. If I had made that mistake and allowed an evil spirit into the circle, it wouldn't matter. I would be lost. Then that's quite a risk you've taken, young sorcerer. It must be a very important task you want me to perform. I want you to have sex with me. I tried to make it sound matter-of-fact, but I could feel the sweat breaking out on my brow, on my palms. She turned her head and regarded the walls with familiarity. A half-smile curled her lip. This is the Aquilison Academy, is it not?
It is.
And last I heard, Aquilison has been co-ed since about 1690. I felt my face go red.
Yes.
So why go to the risk and trouble to summon a lust elemental? Why not just find a willing classmate and experiment?
The atmosphere in the room seemed to be getting thick. I coughed lightly.
I'm better at summoning than I am at talking to girls.
You're talking to me, and I'm the girliest girl you're likely to meet this side of Nirvana.
Look, I don't want excuses. I just want to do it, okay?
Of course. But more than anything, I want to please you. And to do that, I need to know why you summoned me.
I want to know how to please a woman.
And you're thinking that an encounter with me will give you confidence and make it easier to seduce your classmates?
Yes.
Very well, then. I grant your request.
She chuckled.
Where would you like to hold this tutoring session, then?
You hadn't thought that far ahead.
No matter. I can help.
She pulled a pinch of fibers from the sweater, flicked it into the air, and a shower of pillows fell all about us, pink and white and red, piling up 2 and 3 deep around our ankles. She took my hand. I don't know why I thought it would be cold. Maybe it was the blue skin. Her fingers were warm, and I shivered, as if I only noticed the evening chill when I felt true warmth.
The secret, she said, moving closer, is knowing when to move and when to stay where you are. Never move suddenly.
Her mouth was so close I could feel the passage of her whispers on my lips.
It's like a dance. You must always be paying attention. One movement flows from the one before and into the next.
My mouth suddenly seemed full of saliva. I swallowed. My breath felt hot and tight in my throat. I shifted just enough to bring my lips to hers. If her hands were warm, her mouth was an inferno. She seemed made of heat. We kissed. She tasted sweetly of spice and smoke. A moment, then she freed my mouth.
Take the lead, Eric Florian.
It seemed the right thing to do to put my arm around her back. I pulled her into an embrace and tasted her lips once again. The warmth of her body seeped into me like hot cocoa on a chill January night, and I felt my heart pounding. She turned her body slightly, pressing one breast into my chest and sliding the other away from me, still kissing. My hand found her ribs, under her arm, and then slid up to caress the side of her breast. She pulled out of the kiss and looked into my eyes.
Yes, she said. Touch me. This is why I'm here.
Don't rush, but don't hesitate. I squeezed, and she put her hand over mine, intensifying the sensation. I felt like the weave of the sweater would be embedded into my hand. She was soft and pliable, just as I had imagined, and totally alien at the same time.
Firm, but not rough, she whispered,
laying her head on my shoulder.
Find balance.
I bent down and kissed her behind the ear, on her neck, in the hollow that lay just at the collar of the sweater. She sighed, and I heard the slightest edge of mirth in it.
I don't know how to dance, I whispered. You'd never know.
Her voice was a little breathless, and I took some courage that my feeble attempts at pleasure were starting to have an effect.
She certainly was having an effect on me. I ran my hand lower and touched her thigh where the fabric ended. She rotated back and towards my body again, and I found my hand brushing the lower extent of her derriere. Her hands moved in the close confines between us, stroking my chest. I take my cues from you, and you take your cues from me. Show me what you want by doing it. I felt a threshold pass as I pushed the sweater up and caressed her naked cheeks. Her muscles tensed under my fingers. Was that too much? I worried that I was going too fast.
You're doing just fine.
She pushed my bathrobe over my shoulders, and I shrugged out of it and let it fall. The cold air on my back made my hair stand up, and I shivered. At least I had the foresight not to do this fully dressed. I pulled her body back to mine, clutching her close, and she wrapped her arms around me. The sweater, so soft before, felt fibrous and uncomfortable on my chest. Was it time? I hesitated, but remembered her instructions and found my resolution. I took the hem of the sweater in my hands and slowly pulled it up. As the weave passed over her head, she smiled with what looked more than anything like pride. The room warmed instantly.
You learn quickly, she said. I can see why your conjuration was so skillfully cast.
As I lay down among the pillows, I admired her body, the body I had made for her. Aside from the blue cast to her skin, she seemed entirely human. Her breasts were round and firm, tipped with sapphire nipples. Her slim waist flared into wide feminine hips that, even to my virgin eyes, spoke of a maturity almost akin to motherliness. A thick mass of blue-black hair adorned her mound, yet concealing secrets. My cock rose in salute to her beauty. I offered an inviting hand, and she took it, kneeling astride my legs. My calves and ankles broke out in a sweat from the heat of her pussy. It was actually happening. Weeks of planning and scheming were finally coming to fruition. The thrill of being there, of finally losing my virginity, was a big rush all on its own, but to have successfully managed a professional-level conjuration gave me a huge boost, too. She took my cock in her hand and stroked it lightly. At her touch, the skin stretched as the flesh beneath swelled further. It felt like heaven. Someone's hand was on my dick, and it wasn't mine. I closed my eyes, lay back on the pillows, and breathed deep. I didn't want this to end too quick.
"Hey, lover," she said, gripping my rod more tightly. "Don't zone out on me here. You need to participate, too."
I swallowed. "Oh, sorry." I propped myself up on one arm and stroked her hair. She leaned in and kissed me again, nibbling my lips.
"You're doing fine. Just remember to stay in the game."
She guided my hand from her head to her breast. It felt full, full of promise, full of life. I squeezed gently, exploring, and her nipple poked my palm insistently. She rose, arching her back, bringing her breast up toward my mouth, and I kissed it. Spice and smoke. I wondered what a real human nipple would taste like. She sighed with contentment and pushed closer. She rubbed my cock harder. I finally got the hint and lowered my hand to her pussy, pushing through the thick bush of hair, seeking after treasure. I marveled at what I found. Such intricacy, such delicacy. I had to see. I sat up closer, kissed her briefly. "Lay back," I whispered. She gave me a look that made me wonder whether she could read my mind, and complied, legs akimbo. I knelt. I touched. I looked. I licked. Spice and smoke. Her sigh transformed into a moan, and I felt her body tremble. Such power! I wanted more. I redoubled my efforts and was rewarded with sharp breaths, shaking thighs, and fingers running furiously through my hair. She gasped, she groaned, and when climax took her, I was in awe. After a few minutes of recovery, she pushed me onto my back.
"My turn," she said,
and lowered her mouth to my cock. Her ministrations quickly revived it, and as she shifted to straddle me, she grinned.
You have learned so quickly. I think you deserve a reward. May I?
She hovered less than an inch over the tip of my throbbing, virgin cock.
Yes, I said breathlessly. Please do.
She smiled again, but a dark cast took her features as her pussy quickly enveloped me. The pleasure of the act, profound as it was, warred with horror as her body suddenly changed color, running through deep purples into shining blood red. Her muscles thickened and swelled, her limbs lengthened, and when she clamped her huge clawed hands around my upper arms, I found myself helpless under her increasing weight. Her hair became a crown of flames rising above a pair of short, upturned horns. Her breasts grew to an impossible size, tipped with sharp spikes that threatened to pierce my chest. Heavy reptilian wings thrashed the air above us. Succubus. The formula I had obtained specifically warned that if the spell were botched, it could summon a demon instead of a more benevolent spirit. I shook my head, horrified not only that I was about to lose my life and my soul, but I had made a mistake on the spell. How was that possible?
Rule number one of dealing with summoned creatures, she said.
Her voice transformed into a hollow parody of sensuality.
Never give blanket permission for anything. Rule number two, never give your true name. Rule number three, never buy shady rituals from conjurers without dated credentials.
She leaned down and licked the tip of my nose with a forked tongue.
Now, give me your seed and complete your doom.
I closed my eyes to block the horror before me, to concentrate on not coming, try to will my erection to subside, but the feel of her powerful pussy wrapped around my cock, pumping it, squeezing it. I was too close to the edge to stop. I came. I felt like my entire body was emptying into her, like her cunt was sucking me dry. My head swam. I felt sweat break out all over my body. Darkness enfolded me. When I came to, I was tied to a post, still naked, in the center of a dark, circular room. I recognized it as the basement of the very tower where I had cast my ritual. As my eyes regained focus and became adjusted to the gloom, I made out the shape of the succubus. Laid out before her, a girl was bound, naked and spread-eagled, to a table. I recognized her. Kathy Shurik sat behind me in several of my classes. She moaned softly into her gag and tugged at her bonds.
Eric Florian,
said the succubus,
I seem to have come into quite a stroke of luck tonight. Not only have I been summoned by you, but by this young lady as well.
Kathy turned to look at me, her eyes full of shame and fear.
As you will no doubt remember from your lecture on sex magic, succubi use the semen we take from young warlocks, process it, and use it to impregnate nubile witches such as Kathy here with demon spawn. Since you were so kind as to provide the means, I thought I might give you the honor of witnessing the result.
Kathy's eyes pleaded for me to do something. I struggled against the ropes. No, please, I said, take me instead. This nightmare was my fault, and I wasn't going to let Kathy be raped by a demon for it.
Such noble spirit,
she said.
You do your family justice, Eric Florian. I shall be sure to tell them that you were a gallant gentleman right to the end.
With one clawed hand, she massaged her distended pussy lips, and from between her fingers a long, thick cock emerged.
Watch closely.
She turned and swung the foul organ to bear on Kathy's exposed pussy. I closed my eyes and searched my memory for an incantation that would dispel the creature. It is a truth of conjuration that the dismissal is always the most difficult part, but I had to try. Summoning all my concentration, I spoke, trying to keep the syllables straight, trying to keep my shaking voice steady. After I had repeated the incantation 3 times, I began to feel fingers working at the knots that held me in place. I opened my eyes, and the succubus was gone, replaced by the petite, blue-haired spirit I had originally summoned. "Nice recovery, Eric Florian," she said. Behind her, Kathy Shorrock was wrapping a bathrobe around her body, doing her best not to look at my nakedness. What happened? I was confused, to say the least.
"You didn't summon a lust elemental," explained Kathy. "You summoned the guardian spirit of the school. There's an enchantment on the place that redirects any risky conjurations to her instead. I found that out 2 nights ago when I tried to summon a lust elemental of my own. She came to me while you were unconscious and asked me to help put you through the same ringer I had already been through." The spirit smiled up at me.
"Works, doesn't it? This is all staged, but out there, outside the grounds, this kind of conjuration is very risky."
I let out a relieved breath. The ropes fell away, and the spirit handed me my bathrobe.
"You've learned your lesson, I trust?"
"Yes. Yes, I have."
"Good. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have duties to attend to."
A puff of sweet smoke, and she was gone. Walk you back to your dorm?" I started climbing the stairs. She smiled shyly.
"Yeah, eventually. Did you learn anything?"
"I learned that there's a really pretty woman in my potion-brewing practicum who's interested enough in sex to risk her mortal soul. You?" Her smile broadened, and she looked up into my eyes. "Oh, yeah. Eventually."
All music used in this production was in accordance with Creative Commons licenses and are available at music.podshow.com. Look for the bands Axe and Intellect. You can find more productions by me at nobilis.libsyn.com, nobilis.libsyn.com.